Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport with 7 of the Best for your chance to win £1 million.
Let them come, let them come, let them come. Let them all come down to the dead. Let them come, let them come, let them come. We'll only have to beat them again. It's the best team in London, no, the best team of all. Everybody knows us, we're called Millwall. Let them come, let them come, let them come. Let them all come down to the den. It's Saturday in Conflow Lane, we've all come down to cheer. We've had our jelly deals and our glass of beer. Come rain or shine all the time, our families will bring. And as the Lions run on the pitch, everyone will sing. Let them come, let them come, let them come.
You know what? We do like London Football Fan Show Sunday to Friday. And Friday night, 9 o'clock, you know the weekend's in sight because you see a bit of Millwall coming down the line. And some people get scared when they see Millwall in front of you. But no, I don't. I actually embrace it. I love you guys. So it's brilliant. It's brilliant. I feel like a connection.
It's this song. This
yeah,
song
it
does
it bit of Roy Green. I love a bit of Roy Green. Love a bit of Roy. We actually, do you know what? In the next international break, we're going to have like a bit of Roy Green like section because Nick, very kindly, don't know where he is, by the way, Nick, miss you, mate, has like knocked up like a full dossier on the life and times of Roy Green.
Sounds interesting. Yeah. I can only imagine the man is sort of like a cabaret singer of Birmingham.
No. No. Apparently his mum banned him from going down Carlbow Lane.
I mean, plenty of people have been banned from going down Carlbow Lane, but we won't go into that.
Yeah.
Depending on the Wigan scoreline, I wanted to be banned from the
This is the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with Harry Warren.
Hello.
Danielle Lake.
Hello.
And Michael Avery. Good and evening. Jake Watson.
And Jake Watson. Hello, yeah. Jake.
Where's Bubba?
Hi, Jake. Oh, pal. Good. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for
that. Sorry for the typo.
Yeah, there you go. That's all I wanted. Thank you very much.
See, this is what happens. This is why Harry didn't want to do the show notes.
Oh, is that what it
I
was?
To be honest, mate, I got writer's block on Thursday when I went to write it. I tried doing block. It. There's a reason why we call Nick the daddy and that we'll leave it at
mate,
that.
Mate, you get writer's block writing a shopping list. What are you on about?
Mate, doing a tweet with 140 characters does me. I'm not even doing anything else.
Can I just say hi to Mickey as well, who's campaigning for Harry? After sort of the peer pressure you've fallen to and you've got yourself a profile picture on social
yeah,
media.
Yeah, I did, but Sam's more scary than Mickey, so...
Fair play. Right, let's talk about the defeat at Reading. I didn't see that coming. Who did?
I don't think any of us did.
Not after 24 chances, anyway.
Until we were there about 10 minutes, and then...
I don't know what to say. Reading are a plastic club, by the way. I just want to point that out.
Do it!
They are the most plastic of plastic.
I don't work for them anymore.
Oh, you don't work for them anymore? No, right, cool. Anymore. Let's go straight
Although
on.
Although they haven't paid my invoice. So.
Okay, let's go straight
on. I think
it'll
be waiting a while for that one then.
They are, without doubt, the worst football inside I've seen all season.
Yeah, I'd agree with you.
They rode their luck. I mean, what, four chances? One off the line by us, I suppose you could say that it should have been 1-0 up. A penalty is never a penalty. And the second goal, we have a defensive issue. Which can be best described as whenever there's a ball in between Jake Cooper and Murray Wallace, it parts like Moses parting the Red Sea, and anyone can score. So, I mean, they lucked into it. 24 chances. It reminds me of the Forest game last season, where Millwall lost 1-0 with one shot against them. It's just, it was a weird result. They're crap. They're a rubbish.
What was the ground like?
Horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I call it a tin with a roof.
It's not even like that, though, is it? It's just a soulless bowl.
It's literally so poorly put together as well.
Yeah. I mean, what more do you want me to say? I didn't enjoy my Saturday.
No.
No, did you?
Absolutely not, no. I enjoyed the bar before the game.
Oh.
That was about it, really.
Delightful.
You got a bar before the game. I travelled with Nick. You don't get a bar before the game.
No, well, I got the train.
Just a load of Bovril in the glove compartment.
Didn't even get that.
Yeah,
Radio 3.
It was,
No, we got Love Sport all the way down.
Oh, nice one.
Here we go, plug.
Bell and Sperling, big up.
Then having to get the bus back to the station with all the Reading fans at the end, that was just, you know, a bit
There's
of
There's only about eight of them anyway.
They were all going on. Did you see the tweets about them wanting to take on all the Millwall fans?
Yeah, we mentioned it. There's a particular Reading account called Y26, and he threatened 1,800 fatalities before we turned up.
I think someone, see, I was shown it by Lucas, who I think was about to prepare his Power Rangers gun and all that, you know. Bless it. Oh, sorry, Lucas.
Getting the rest of the youth podcast. You
know, basically.
Fired up.
Yeah, he was getting all fired up. He was getting, you know.
He was saying, this is Sparta, basically. Yeah, basically. Standing there.
Basically, he got and raided the Toys R Us clearance section.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. Don't.
And the situation is, I reckon it's a parody account.
What, Lucas's?
No.
Oh, right.
That'd be a statement.
Bit harsh.
I don't know. They have a drum. I doubt any football sides or any football fans. Legitimacy when you have sort of on
when you need a drum.
Well, when you need a drum,
or musical instrument.
Musical instrument. When
one
you
of
need
those,
yeah, rattles.
What they call it, a rattle. Yeah.
When you need bubbles. When you score goals. I mean, all this. I'm digging them out. An eagle on the pitch before a game. Can we do all the London football clubs while we're here? It's just a bit strange, isn't it? I don't like atmospheres.
When you only sing when you're winning.
Clappers.
Yeah, well, basically, clappers,
yeah,
all that.
Do you remember when Peter De Savery bought out the Flames years ago?
I do remember. I also remember Peter De Savery coming in in a Beko shirt.
Yes, over the suit.
Over
yeah,
the suit.
Over the suit.
We've had some colourful chairmen. Maybe we could do that on one of the international breaks.
Michael, mate, you've never seen Michael Knighton, the man who tried to buy Man United, started doing kick-ups on the field, then didn't have the money.
I Millwall don't have any money. Don't worry about it. I don't know. It's been a weird week. I feel positive, even though last Saturday, if you'd asked me, was I going to feel positive doing this show?
There's a smog of positivity coming from the recycling
of positivity.
Plant.
Positivity.
Yeah.
What's people been burning in the recycling?
I feel like
plant?
That should be your Twitter.
Tires,
like.
Yeah, that's my new handle.
Yeah, smog of positivity. It should be called that. Smog of positivity. Lucas has just said, "Cheers, guys."
Yeah, welcome.
No problem, pal. No
Anytime.
Problem. We know you've got your armour sorted out.
Lucas, I've never met you, so I apologise in advance.
All them Power Rangers.
It's all Harry's idea, Lucas.
Knocking around. But yeah, Reading wasn't so good.
It was just, I think it summed us up. It was just unlucky as well. You know, the decisions weren't great, and it makes you think, well, if they'd have not happened, what, you know, could we have turned that around? Probably, maybe, I don't know, really. It was one of those games, I think, do you know what, if we'd have shot all game, I don't think we were going to score.
Can I say, though, we said it last week, Aaron, and this isn't sort of like me, Sam and Lucas being any mystic megs or anything like that. Any Millwall fan will say it. If you're half expected to go to a game and get a result, you're not going to get one. And let's be honest, everyone was saying about the the Wigan game and the Ipswich game. I think the Reading game was the hard one because we was expected to turn up and get 3 points.
Do you know what? I think I'd rather have been at home in my pyjamas.
There you go, in your PJs.
I just think that we're the world's worst favourites, aren't we? Mm. It's always been the way. Millwall could play Staines and you'd expect Millwall to get beat 1-0.
You did let me down on my echo.
Yeah, well, of course we did, mate. Don't never back Millwall.
Never back Millwall.
The only one you should ever back is if you're picking 7ofthebest.com. Oh, hey, I've got the sponsors here. I'm smashing on.
God, he's like a bathroom suite showroom, all these plugs he's putting in,
isn't he? Plugs just plugging all the time. Basically, just back Jake Cooper to score. Because everything Millwall do goes through Jake Cooper. It's ridiculous. I mean, I love Jake Cooper. He's a very good-looking man. And a brilliant defender. But I don't really get the idea of doing the throw into the front post. I don't understand what he's going to do. Is he going to sort of like Hernandez
now,
it? Like?
Daniela, with your you know, extensive tactical knowledge, what do you make of that?
I mean, I think he's probably... I don't know, actually. We've scored from him. He's actually got a few assists, hasn't he? I think it's no worse than the others. Something's going on here, and I'm not too sure. I feel like I'm being left out of the loop.
No, you're not being left out of the loop. We're editing show notes midway through the show.
Yeah,
just
it's not very professional.
It's not at all professional. I've never been accused of being professional at doing anything that I've ever done, to be fair. I don't know. I just think, like, we go through the same kind of system. We know how we're going to play, but against Reading, we played on the floor for 20 minutes, maybe before the goal, and it actually worked.
Yeah, do you know what I think, though? It's like, a lot of the stuff does go through Jake Cooper, and he does get the heads on. Nobody's there to follow it up, and everyone else seems to be doing their bit. You know, we get the ball in, he heads it on, nothing else there.
I'd like to know what the stats are for the amount of headers that Millwall win in the box from the initial ball in, and how many times that ball finds a non-Millwall player. Yeah.
What you've got to realise is there is actually a guy sitting there counting all of those as well.
Yeah, but I have heard a story.
I wonder what his job title is.
I have heard a story of Sky Sports doing that once, and the bloke who's supposed to do the clicker when they click backwards and forwards accidentally forgot to change it.
They don't click on it, though. What they do is they have like a guy sitting. You must have seen it in the press box.
They're basically at the back of the press box. There's a guy. And there's also a guy with a laptop, and they literally sensors.
Well, no. There's a guy on the phone, and so obviously they report it to the biggest stats company in the world.
Who would that be?
I shouldn't have bigged them up like that. I was hoping you'd know. You're not Opta. They phone
Opta
them
Joe.
Well, Opta.
There's another one.
Dave and all that.
Oily Sailor. But
what they do is they phone them up during the game, and they actually commentate on the game going, ball into zone 76.
Isn't that the way they used to do radio commentary back in the day?
What, ball into zone 76?
Yeah, I think that's like the original.
Well, they'd have to give you a grid.
Well, no, that's how they used to do it. I generally remember seeing this somewhere.
Well, no, it's basically Sabutio.
Yeah.
You get the Sabutio and then you just plug your headphones. No, that's not how it's done. Anyway, we're going to take a pause, and during the break, you're going to hear Harry talking about how he saved money on his car and home insurance with spokesman.com. And now he's now taking his daughter to, where is it, on holiday?
Oh, I can't remember that ever.
Pontins. 0208 70 25 58 is the number to call.
Black.
The Fans Show with 7bestbets.com. Fancy a flutter? 7bestbets.com. Love Sport's official bookmaker.
What did everyone think of that one?
It's good. I don't know the name of it, though. It's terrible.
Anyone?
It's a belter.
No idea.
Primal Scream, apparently.
Oh.
Friday night, we bring out all the big tunes on a Friday night. Just what we do.
It's not quite our usual 90s dance.
No,
Casey
not
and the Sunshine Band.
As long as it's not Casey and Jojo, it's all good, pal.
I'm done.
Yeah, don't do it. Let's talk about Tuesday night down at the Den. It was curry night.
It was.
It was curry night at the Den.
Did you not get the email?
Well, I wasn't there, was I?
Well, what's been happening is Millwall Football Club have been listening to our podcast, and they clocked onto our idea to have a curry night.
We need a job in the marketing department. Imagine us three rocking up. Here, Kavanagh. This is what you need.
I'll jump in as well.
That will get it sorted for you.
Miller Corner sponsored Millwall's Corners.
There you go.
I'm all full of them.
That'd actually be a very, very good idea.
There you go.
Anyway, it was curry night down at the Den, and you never went.
I was in Dublin with work, so I do have a legitimate excuse, and I normally never miss a match, can I just point out, but yeah.
How were the curries?
I didn't have a curry. I decided to go for a kebab. from the top of the blue, people, you all know the one I'm talking about, the one opposite the Ancient Foresters Public House. I decided on the new
mini roundabout.
Yes. So I decided to have a kebab before I went to the game, because Millwall's catering is... if you queue for Millwall's catering, you might see 12 minutes of the game.
Fair play. Was it a good idea to have the kebab?
Oh, the kebab was £7.20, well spent.
What was better, the kebab or the game? Come on.
Well, the second half was fantastic. I mean, that second goal.
I've got
Barcelona.
I watch the highlights of the Millwall game with the alternative commentary that's doing the rounds.
Oh, it's brilliant.
It's absolutely fantastic. So good.
Although he needs to call Ryan Leonard Lendog.
He does. Yes. You're spot on. But the own goal weren't great.
Do you know what? It's interesting because me and Harry had a bit of a conversation.
Tete a tete.
Yes. A few words were exchanged. Harry thought Amos. Who's Amos? Amos could do more.
Yes.
And I thought that he had no chance.
Thought he could do more as well.
He dives over the top of the ball like Jordan Archer dives over things from 25 yards. That's all I'm saying. I've not seen him make a save. I can't remember seeing Ben Amos make a save. The one where he saves from Vaughan is Vaughan being awful, by the way.
Yeah, it was a horrendous touch, wasn't it?
And if he's better first touch, he takes it round him, and he'll probably get sent off because he would have gone down.
Mm.
So, bring back Jordan Archer. What, you've heard it here first. It's on this show, the show where the Jordan Archer, the Jordan Archer fan club are re-emerging. They're like the A-team coming out
This is the radio show that gave you free Deirdre Rashid. Now we're bringing back. Bring back Jordan Archer. Reinstate Archer.
The Jordan Archer fan club is speaking. Yeah.
Is actually a real thing there. But I thought, let's give him credit. He normally gets a bit of stick about his substitutions, but I think Neil Harris got them spot on.
Absolutely.
Spot on. I mean, Aidan O'Brien, even in the warm-up, you could see he was ready. He was like a coiled spring, wasn't he?
He's come back and he's learnt how to cross. Has anyone else worked this out?
He's a handful up there, you know.
He's suddenly sort of... I've seen that picture of him and Roy Keane, and it kind of scares me. Because I don't know what Roy Keane said to him. I think Roy Keane's like locked up. I've not seen Aidan's family at any game since. I think he's been locked in sort of Roy Keane's cupboard.
Is it one of him pointing, as if saying, there, Aidan.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where the goal is.
It's more like, that's where you kick him. That hurts him more. I don't really get it. I just think, Aidan's weird. He's either fantastic and almost the best player on the pitch every time he plays, or he's the worst player on the pitch. He's very...
He's one of those players that he's naturally good, and then when he has time to think about what he needs to do, that's where it goes wrong a bit.
Yeah. He's footballing brain. I mean, I've always been saying that if you put them together, Fred and Aidan would be a 20-30 million pound player because they generally have that ability
to O'Brien.
What is Fred? What is Fred still doing at Wycombe Wanderers?
Okay, so Fred still. I think Fred feels loved at Wycombe. I genuinely believe it, and he's not loved at Millwall.
It's wrong. Gareth Ainsworth, we talk
about. He's a horrible, horrible man.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Millwall can't stand us.
Anyway, we talk about him a lot on the Wimbledon fan show because we look at Neil Ardley, who genuinely is like the nicest guy in the world. Like, you just can't not... He looks like he's about to cry every minute. But basically, probably is right now with the state they're
going to get sacked.
But, yeah, I don't think he will. But you just wonder, what is Ainsworth doing there? He's got some sort of, like, you know, creche going on there at Wickham because he signed some quality players. For League One level and League Two level, he signed Craig McHale-Smith and, like, Sam Saunders. And Sam Saunders, he was known as, like, you know, the League One David Beckham. You know, he's bringing out players like that. And he's got Onya Dimmer down there firing. Why aren't Millwall just going, you know what? Let's find another club that are, like, remotely near South West London or South London. Let's give it to Wimbledon instead.
Because we can't find anyone to replace. Sort of the problem is with Millwall's transfer policy this season. As I said before, it was all changed by one jumped up little Northern Irishman who decided that he wanted to go and throw his career away at Middlesbrough, and that basically changed the club's dynamic of what we could afford. That presumably changed the idea of who was going to play. Because I don't think Ben Thompson would have been allowed to go out on loan if we'd still have had Saville. And he's another one, by the way, that I'd have back in January. But Fred needs to go and play games. And
he needs to build his confidence.
I think they need to realise what they want from Fred.
Mm.
That's ultimately what it is. I mean, everyone says about O'Brien playing up front. Personally, I prefer him out on the wing, but I know I'm in the minority. Everyone prefers him being up front. But at least he's got a sort of... He's given a job when he's out on the wing. You know, either stay out on the wing, cross him in, or cut in. When the problem you've got with a player like Onyedinna is that there's this whole new, since like Messi made it popular, that free role, and when Rooney was in his prime, that free role, basically go out and do what you want. I don't think Onyedinna's good enough to go out there and just do the free role. He needs to be given a task. When he played against Leeds, I think it was last season, and he destroyed them, he was given a job to do.
He doesn't understand his own strengths, I don't think, at the moment, because he's young and he hasn't
he's
had
not
that
got
experience.
The maturity to know what he's
I think
doing.
That's true. I also think that Millwall have been... as in Millwall, as in a transfer and a club, have been hurt in the past, especially looking at John Marquez. John Marquez is the perfect player to hold that up against. We didn't send John Marquez out on loan half as much as we needed to, because it's being proved now that after 100 games in the Football League, he's suddenly the player that he was never given a proper chance at Millwall. I think that we should have a cheeky bid in January. I generally do, because I don't think Morrison's going to be here next season. I think he is the target man that we should have signed. Tom Elliott's not really my kind of player. I don't think he works hard enough without the ball. And I don't... If Gregory's going, which might happen, obviously we're doing the transfer a bit later, I've jumped it, but if Gregory decides to go, which would be unfortunate, Bradshaw's obviously been signed as a replacement. So we're kind of planning for next season whilst doing this season, if that makes sense. But it's a shame because Lee Gregory has been an absolute godsend for me.
Very quickly, thoughts on that goal by Morrison?
I mean, he celebrated it like he discovered electricity to nip the line. But the build up before it is.
The build up was unbelievable.
I mean, Shane Ferguson.
What's happened to Shane Ferguson?
Someone has told him he needs to. I think he's in debt or something because he's got no contract at the end of the season. And someone's told him, you know, the bills need to be paid, the mortgage, the wife's got onto his ear and gone, Shane, I want to pick, the kids need shoes or something. I don't know. But he's.
I want a gazebo.
She wants
nothing
something.
Nothing wrong with a gazebo.
Absolutely not.
Gazebo girl.
Yeah,
well,
thank you.
He's just been unbelievable. I mean, he was a great player, and then he went to the Euros, and he got absolutely destroyed by Milik. I can't remember his first name, the boat from Poland. Mm. And he's come back a completely different player. And it seems like it's taken him 9 months to sort of watch back that game and work it out.
I think he's even better than he was, though, when he was at his best before. Mm. He never really used to put tackles in and stuff like that, and he's started doing that now, and he's making runs, and I've never really seen that side of him before. Mm.
When they put him at left-back, sorry, Harry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're right.
When they put him at left-back to put in O'Brien, I did think that's not the greatest move because he's not really put a foot wrong. But then you got, like, with a goal as well, He not only has he played phenomenally well to actually get that ball in, but he's like actually successfully overlapped and got involved in the game as well. So,
and I think it's shown the versatility that we can play different formations now, which is quite nice. I mean,
quite nice.
Well, we can go five at the back and have two wing backs, and it actually really works because Romeo's better going forward than he is going backwards. So, especially giving away two penalties, even though the corrupt FA, I'm going to start a campaign on here.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly. Aaron, please watch the two penalties. I mean, you'll be a neutral. They have been disgraceful. There's no other word. I mean, it's shocking.
This is turning into like a full-blown campaign show, you know that.
Well, I mean...
Next, we're going to be asking for donations for Ferguson. At 9:24, this is Love Sport Radio. On the back of this, we're going to be talking about poor refereeing decisions, and we're going to be talking about I Follow. Acorn not do a version of this?
He did. We could have thought of better versions
of
this.
Stand Acorn.
Didn't he get nicked?
More than likely.
I can remember. I'm not going into that. That's one for the extra podcast.
That's
one.
That's coming up after this. Not live, but whenever.
You'll be able to get it from the Acton CBL magazine podcast.
And all other good podcast apps.
Yes.
Anyway, let's talk about poor refereeing decisions.
Yes. Because that song would have made no sense otherwise.
No, it wouldn't have.
I called to the stand Harold Warren.
Harold Warren. Okay. Harold Warren would like to put forward to the joke of an organisation that is the Football Association. I don't understand the Respect the Ref campaign.
Objection. No.
Says by the blazer of the suited Michael Avery. No, I don't understand this idea. I understand they have a hard job. I've had a brilliant idea, Aaron. You know, like this station got Big Nasty to go from rapper to reporter.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can make
call him reporter, but yeah.
Kind maybe of we could go from
my trade, but yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we could like take me from being fat fan to referee man.
Referee man.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
Well, Sunday League ref.
Sunday League ref. Yeah, because I don't think I'd get after decisions wrong that. The referees that are paid to.
Have you never had to be like an emergency
liner? I've been a liner.
I'll tell you what, the worst thing you could do.
The old human ruler.
Yeah. And it's the best one, isn't it? It's the old, well, he weren't interfering with play. Mate, you're a Sunday League footballer. You can't even kick in a straight line. How am I meant to know that bloke who's offside is the one you're aiming for?
The best thing is when someone comes and questions Michael's decision, he puts his hand to his ear. Just like, you know, looking for. Yeah, hello? Yeah.
And then you put the finger up, hang on.
No, it's
not right. But I don't understand. Take a set, like, the FA don't, let's be honest, right? VAR at the World Cup, I wasn't for it beforehand. I watched it at the World Cup. I thought it was a good decision. In our league, where the referees aren't, how can I put this diplomatically, any good? it would make sense to have a overseer to sort that out before you launch it in the Premier League, before you do it in the Champions League. So why don't they use it? Oh, right, yeah, because they come out with the excuse that lower league football would struggle. Like they care about... I nearly swore them for the first time on this radio station. Like they care about lower league football. If the FA cared about lower league football, they wouldn't have put iFollow on.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's... I know Neil Harris come out after the Reading game and said he sent off the incidents, and they've sent them back and looked at the wrong incidents. I mean, it's just incompetence from top to bottom. I'm rant done. Let somebody else go for it.
Yeah, there is. I think that there has to be something. I mean, is it BT who's doing it at the moment with like Graham Powell, the referee who's sitting in the booth and like sort of sounding decisions? That
it probably
should
be Howard Webb
or someone like that.
Gallagher or someone.
Now that's not a bad idea. But I think you do. If you have got some horrendous penalty decisions like that, you would not necessarily have someone come out on like a match of the day or something like that. But there needs to be some kind of statement where it's like, look, at the end of the day, we're asking you to respect us. It works both ways. We have made a bit of a blunder here. And I think the problem you've got with the refereeing in football especially, it's too sort of, what's the word, totalitarian, isn't it? It's my way and there's no room...
The refs don't... Nothing happens if they make consistent bad decisions.
Saying.
That's
what
I mean. It's like
they do. They get demoted.
So
they get demoted and make the refereeing in that league worse as well. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
they don't take them away.
There's no, like... It should be a... You know what? You're banned for three games
or
something. It should work both ways.
And the thing is as well, if you look at some decisions, I mean, the classic example, not even in a Millwall situation, is the Ireland-France game in the qualifier. That cost Ireland so much money. Didn't it? You know, like going to World Cup.
We're looking at the Irishman.
We're looking to get a...
Where's the father?
Well, we're looking to get an opinion from the box outside. But he's put. Is he coming? Are you coming? He's dead.
Oh,
he's finished. He's gone.
But no. There's a decision there. That's not even one of the old. Oh, you know, we've cost you a penalty. Or we've cost you a point. We'll cost you this. You know, that literally cost you millions of pounds in revenue, prize money. You know, all that kind of thing. Bad World Cup CDs.
Yep.
It's cost them a fortune.
Pints of Guinness.
I mean, let's look at Tuesday night, though. If they'd have scored that penalty...
Oh, we wouldn't have come back.
We would never have come back
from
that,
and we'd still
be sitting
bottom.
But then, this is the thing, isn't it? Football is now a business. And financial, this is people's livelihoods. How many people do Millwall employ? How much more would a championship gate be worth in terms of season tickets?
We're also trying to hold on to players.
It's just the wider football club, that the division that you're in, affects the Lionesses... You know, Reading, if Reading went down, I know Aaron said about how much money that they would have lost last season if they had gone down towards their women's team. These decisions now cost people's livelihood, cost people's job by one person in the middle. And that one person in the middle should be held responsible and accountable. And obviously, if we all went into our job in the morning, no one goes out to make mistakes. But when you make mistakes, you normally are punished in some
Don't
way.
Don't worry. One time when you got a drone ref in the 2056 World Cup... Then phone me up, pal.
Mate, don't worry. We've got, what is it, for the World Cup, I saw a stat the other day, we've already got 44 deaths on the stadium, so maybe we should have 44 minutes of silence before the game and charge it to FIFA on TV time.
Why not?
There you go. But like if you look at like the decisions as well, the way they keep changing these rules, so, you know, like the sort of the phase one offside, the phase two offside, you know, last season the last man got red card, now he doesn't because it's, you know, giving a penalty, scoring a goal and sending someone else is too much. There's the argument as well with the offside. If you've not think about then, like the man in the middle of the park, but the linesman's, it's physically impossible to look at that many things over that wider spectrum of a sort of looking at a pitch that quickly and getting it right, you know, because the way the ball's played, the way the run is, that kind of thing.
What annoys me is we had the EFL Cup or the Carabao Cup, as it's correctly called, where some of the tyres had VAR, some of the tyres had goal line technology, some of them didn't. You're in the same competition. That's not the same rules.
It should be unanimous throughout.
You know, it's ridiculous. Mm. And I don't understand, like, the rules of football... When I was at school, I was taught, or as a boy, you're taught the rules of football, you play to the rules. You respect the referee's decision, or mostly, but sometimes the referees must know. I mean, both penalties decisions. The one on O'Brien's never a penalty.
Mm-mm.
O'Brien goes down looking for that because he knows the referee's been soft in the other one and probably knows, ideally, that he might have got it wrong. So does the referee level it up? Is that then right?
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
It's not right because both are wrong. So I'm not asking the referees to be anything. I mean, at least he was consistent. He was consistently wrong. But, you know, it's a hard one because you don't want to be on referees and get people on referees. But all we ask for as Millwall fans and any football fan is you to be consistent. And they're not consistent, especially when they come to the Den.
Let's not forget old Mr. Friend at the start of the season as well. All jokes, I'm not saying it's to get people worked up and anything like that. But it is, you know, we had the Middlesbrough game at the start of the season where some could say, yeah, we shouldn't have shut the game off, but you also shouldn't have played 2 minutes over the allotted time. We've had two bad penalty decisions go against us.
In consecutive games.
We've had tapes be sent off. They've looked at the wrong footage. Wasn't there a decision at Nottingham Forest?
Yeah.
This is consistently, week in, week out, costing us. And this isn't, Harry, this isn't costing us like 1 point here or 2 points here. This could collectively have cost us about 7-8 points, and they're poor decisions.
And that, when you're down the bottom, scrapping them for
you
points.
Doesn't make you think that you have to work, our players have to work double hard to get anything out of the game.
Have you not noticed Ryan Leonard goes down and looks at referees with a forlorn look now? And it's got more and more forlorn in his time playing for us. So as a Southend player, he probably gets decisions that he should get.
Yeah.
In a Millwall shirt, you need to be near on assaulted. You need to have GBH committed on you to get anyone sort of given a free kick. It's ridiculous.
Grumpy Grimace has tweeted in. Ooh. Legend of the show. We love
Grumpy.
We love him. Top man. He said, "Have said it before and will be saying it again. Refs change games."
Oh, absolutely. Well said, Grumpy. Absolutely agree with that.
I mean, he changed the game on Tuesday night. It was pretty flat. He managed to get the crowd involved, didn't he?
Let's take a pause and we'll begin our preview to Millwall versus Ipswich Town next. I've just been given official release by our producer tonight to say, he just said, talk amongst yourselves for the next few minutes. So let's talk amongst ourselves.
Okay.
Harry, what would you like to say?
I've just been told that people remember their dog's birthdays, and it's been proven.
Yeah, it's my dog's birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Scooby.
El Scoob.
If he's listening.
Daniel's got a, what's your dog called?
Bessie.
Oh, that's a great name.
Thank you.
My dad's old van was called Bessie.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
Did it look like a dog?
Was it
like the Dumb and Dumber car?
It was a bit of an old dog.
I hope it wasn't a fan of the company I work for.
Wow, QPR have beaten Aston Villa tonight. Dean Smith's regime at Villa Park hasn't started
well,
to plan. QPR good. 5 unbeaten now.
That's a shame, but that I don't shame. Like Dean Smith, so come on.
You can't.
I just feel sorry for John Terry.
I can dislike Dean Smith.
So you feel sorry for who?
Oh. Moving on.
Yeah, I don't like Dean Smith after last season.
Okay.
He came out and said some very disparaging comments about Neil Harris.
Fair enough.
So yeah, it's out of order.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Can't talk about the Messiah.
QPR have beaten Aston Villa tonight.
I was hoping for a boring 0-0 draw, but, you know.
And the thing is as well, look at that. Tammy Abraham, hands on his hips. He's like he's lost a cup final. You're on loan, mate. You're only going to be there another few months.
You think he's on loan, mate? He might as well be on loan at Chelsea. Forget from Chelsea. Or, you know, it's just... He's going to go back to Chelsea and do what?
I know. But look at Loftus-Cheek yesterday. He's got that trick. Still can't get a game.
Against Batty Borisov, though.
Yeah.
Send him to Millwall. That's what I say.
Yeah.
I've told you about my idea about that. That the Premier League clubs should have 23 players, and if they've got any more, they have to be out on loan at their own cost to Championship and League One clubs.
Yeah, it is. It's certainly a topic for debate. Let's go for your opposition view.
The opposition view on Love Sport.
Yeah, joining us now is James Scowcroft, former Ipswich Town striker. How are you, James?
Yeah, I'm okay, thanks.
Thanks for joining us this evening, pal. You know, it was an interesting one with Paul Hurst. I talked to, you know, a few different Ipswich Town fans, a couple of ex-players as well. They kind of criticised me for talking about Mick McCarthy and saying maybe the grass wasn't greener on the other side. Maybe it's been proven now, you know, that the grass wasn't greener on the other side and the board have decided to make a change. Was it right, in your opinion?
To get rid of Mick McCarthy?
No, to make the change now with Paul Hurst.
Results speak everything, don't they? It's all about results in football in the bottom of the league, and they've won one game in 15 and 16 if you include the League Cup, so you can't keep going on like that. You know, I don't think Ipswich have been in the third tier of English football for nearly 50 years. So on that basis, yeah, absolutely. You know, you have to make that decision. And there's only 33 games left, I think, around about that figure. So, you know, time is running out. We're soon approaching Christmas, so they've got to act, and they have acted.
And what do you make of their chances? Well, obviously, it looks like Brian Klug, I think, the academy director, is going to be taking the side tomorrow. Rumour has it that Paul Lambert might be taking over. As a former player, obviously, everyone knows about the Ipswich-Norwich thing. Do you reckon that's going to have a big impact if Lambert does take over?
No, I don't think so. I don't think Ipswich fans are that bothered about it, really. They're desperate for someone to come in and make an immediate impact. So it could be anybody, and it wouldn't. I don't think it would bother them at all. I think, you know, it's desperate days at the moment at Portman Road. So if you look at Paul Lambert, he actually did a similar job in a similar position when he was manager at Norwich. You know, they were free-falling into League One. They actually did go down, but he soon turned the club around and got more of the way into mid-table in the Premier League. So, you know, he's a proven manager in this situation.
He'd have had a hell of a lot more money to spend at Norwich than what he will get at Ipswich. I'd sort of ask the question. Mick McCarthy was doing a brilliant job on a very limited budget, and a lot of Ipswich fans obviously were bored with the football. I understand that. I mean, the last season, I know the game that they played against us last season at home was a 4-3 thriller, but the two-all draw, I think, at Portman Road at the end of the season just sort of showed where both clubs were. I know Ipswich haven't really... I mean, they've lost McGoldrick, and, you know, he's a very, very good championship-level striker. But questions surely don't have to be asked about... I know Paul Hurst has now gone, but questions have to be asked about the board, really, don't they? I mean, Marcus Evans isn't pumping the money in that he was pumping in, and obviously in this division, you look at the other clubs that are up the top, which Ipswich fans seem...
Well, don't really know what happened there. We'll try and get James on a little bit later. Should we go for a quick pause? Let's go for a quick pause. This is Love Sport Radio. Yeah, we've got a light in the mood somehow.
It's the supernatural.
I mean, look, it's Halloween has come early, sort of 5 days early.
My heart just bounced.
Yeah, apologies for the slight technical issues. The ghosts are just knocking around, so we call the Ghostbusters in. James, the main things, are you all right?
I'm fine, yeah. Not sure what happened there.
No, it sounded a bit scary, though. It sounded a bit scary. Harry, you were mid-sort of question, weren't you?
Yeah, I was mid-question, basically saying, are the fans sort of annoyed at the board, really, because as I was saying, the backing hasn't been there for realistically since Paul Jewell, really.
No, it isn't. No, it's yeah, it's a club that's in decline. I don't think anybody would argue with that, really. And you know, the owner's the one who owns the club, makes the decisions. So yeah, he has to take a lot of responsibility as well. Really, you know, the club is at its lowest it's been for a long, long time. And ultimately, the manager's paid the price, but I think the owner should take a lot of responsibility as well.
Yeah, I think as well. Let McGoldrick go. As I know he didn't play much last season, but he's gone to Sheffield United and hit the ground running. As a former striker yourself, obviously you understand what it's like to feel loved. I don't think really a lot of the Ipswich team, it doesn't seem settled from what I've seen. So does that really affect you when you're a striker playing at a club like Ipswich?
Well, it does, yeah. They lost all their centre forwards, basically. They lost McGoldrick, they lost Waghorn, they lost Gardner. And they've brought in players that have never played in the Championship before, never played at that level. So, you know, that is a huge ask to lose senior players there. And then the turnover of players to bring in 10, 11 new players and expect that to click is a huge, huge gamble. And that gamble hasn't paid off. So, as far as that's concerned, you know, that's almost where it's all gone wrong. But you know, Paul Lambert now needs to come in and work with a group of players and get the confidence going, really, I think, throughout the team. You know, centre-forwards especially, they have struggled to score goals. You know, the two lads that have come from the lower leagues really haven't really hit the ground running, Jackson and Harrison, the lad from Bristol Rovers. So I think Paul Lambert's first job is to get players like that confident and believing in themselves.
Do you think he'll be given money to go and sign sort of proven Championship strikers, or do you think this could be a fight to the death kind of in the Championship?
I think if you want to sign a proven Championship striker, you're probably looking at £10 million. You know, that's not going to happen. I think they'll go into January, and I think they'll go down the loan market and see several faces probably come in from top academy clubs, and maybe one or two journeyman players that haven't really featured this season. I think that will be the route that they go down.
Yeah, when you know you're in trouble, as they are, the last place you want to be going is somewhere like the Den, isn't it?
It is, but you know, Millwall aren't having a great season themselves. There's pressure on Millwall tomorrow as well. So I think tomorrow, you know, with Brian being the interim manager as well, there probably is a little bit of pressure off them now. You know, I'm sure Paul Lambert will be there watching, so they'll want to impress their new boss. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Ipswich got a result tomorrow.
What kind of memories do you have of playing at the Den? Obviously, an intimidating place to go and fight.
Yes, mixed memories. Always a real, real tough place to go. I was part of a Leicester team that went once when away fans were banned, so it was when Dennis Wise had just left, controversially left Leicester and joined Millwall, so there's a little bit of a mini rivalry there. Yeah, it's a tough place, and I saw Millwall a lot last year, and to be fair, when they get going at home, the home support gets behind them probably like no other team in the country does. So it is an iconic place.
Yeah, and in terms of score prediction, are you looking out? What do you think's going to happen?
I think Ipswich will win 2-1.
Oh, well, okay. Brave prediction there, James, especially on a Millwall show. Look, thank you very much for joining us this evening. We do appreciate it. We apologise for the slight technical issues we have back there. James Scoker, a former Ipswich Town striker with us on Love Sport. Where do we go next? Who's looking ahead to that game? I mean, surely from your point of view, you're looking at three solid points.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'll be a walkover. I generally do.
Yeah, I just can't. I just cannot see Ipswich getting anything. I really can't.
They were very lucky last season. They were 6-7 at the back under McCarthy. They won 4-3 in Jordan Archer's virtuoso performance as Ronald McDonald, or Coco the Clown, where he threw three goals into his own net. So, you know, and then when we went away from home there, it was another one of the occasions where Millwall just couldn't put the ball into the back of their net.
Yeah,
and
I remember that too, well, yeah.
And it was, you know, if we play how we did when we got the goal on Tuesday night for the whole game, we will win easily. The problem is Murray Wallace is a defensive walking nightmare. And I can't, you know, there are certain players at Millwall history who are centre-halves that you look at and you go, did that really happen? I'm thinking of Richard Duffy, Mark Phillips. There's a few more. Marcus Bignot. I'm thinking of
Marcus,
a few.
There was nothing wrong with Marcus
there
Bignot.
There was many things wrong with Marcus Bignot.
Was there anything wrong with Marcus Bignot?
Anything, I mean, anyone, Anyone that comes in to try and take over Alan Dunn's position and fails must look at themselves disgracefully. I love you, Dunny.
Alan Dunn the centre-half or Alan Dunn the right-back?
At both. More so centre-half.
Utility man.
Utility man, indeed.
Ian Holloway thought he was a utility man. And look what happened to him.
Yeah, Ian Holloway sold Gary Taylor Fletcher and also
Cardiff.
Just a quick one on Ian Holloway. Do you reckon he'd do a good job at Wimbledon?
No. I will say to you now that Ian...
Was he going to be a groundsman or something like that? You wouldn't have him anywhere else, would you?
The only good job that
Ian... In that three-piece suit, yeah, with the hat and everything. Yeah. You're right.
You know what? The only club that I really want him to go to is West Ham. Because I want to see the chaos that would bring.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Huh?
Imagine him at Milton Keynes. That'd be superb.
Just Milton Keynes around here.
MK.
MK, sorry.
No Dons.
No Dons.
Don's playing Wimbledon.
Yeah, indeed, got to agree with that.
Well, Kingston at the moment.
Well, yeah, there we go.
Anyway, Ian Holloway.
Yeah.
Shocking.
How are you looking forward to tomorrow? Are you back under the gazebo?
I'm on the gazebo tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, good work. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the gazebo, the fantastic work you're doing
down
there.
Well, it's next to the Blue Bus, isn't it? It's where the Mill Supporters Committee are every weekend home match.
It's hard to put up.
It's not hard to put up. It's just because you never get there early enough to help put it up. So you don't actually know how to do it.
Burn.
Honestly, every home match.
This is news to me. I mean, I'm not real.
You don't turn up.
I'm not real wall because I'm walking around the other way. I sit on the
Sneaks
other side
in
of the ground.
Don't read the program.
I don't read the program. I haven't put a program in years. I do apologise for that. But
my two program pages are shakes.
Gold.
You're missing
gold.
Out.
Well, there we go.
What's happening under the gazebo tomorrow? Anything interesting?
It's Remembrance Day.
We'll be laying wreaths before the match.
Got a current serving...
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, servicemen presenting the wreath. Yeah, that'd be excellent.
That'd be good.
Mm. Yeah, it's going to be... the atmosphere is going to be amazing tomorrow, I think, which will help with the game.
Yeah, especially if we start...
These kind of games, especially like the Remembrance games and things like that, the fans proper back it, so I think... The atmosphere will be good, which in turn will help the team.
And I believe there's a collection as well, isn't there?
Is there a collection?
Should be. There normally is, isn't there?
Yeah,
so
good.
Don't stay at home on your iFollow.
Absolutely not.
Oh, we're touching on iFollow. I hate iFollow.
Oh, hang on. Yeah, but what, should we get a poll? iFollow or Red Button, Harry?
Oh, Red Button with Romeo.
With Romeo.
Romeo. Don't work.
Do your research before you're going to commentate a match.
Are there commentators on Red Button?
Oh, I mean, that's what
Red
you want to call
Button gig. Gaffer, I need Wednesday nights or Tuesday nights off going forward, mate.
CV@redbutton.com.
I'd love to do one of them. I'd love to do a team that I really dislike and try and hide it in the commentary. Be quite good.
It's not easy.
West Ham have scored.
It's really not easy.
Does that happen?
It may be from 30 yards, but it was up there with a...
I'll tell you what, I'll tell you some good commentary stories on The Extra.
The Extra is going to be
We're going to be recording that in about 5 or so minutes' time. How do Millwall line up tomorrow?
Probably the same that
Absolutely
started.
Same.
Warner, Dunn.
In my Millwall.
Tuttle.
No, definitely not Dave Tuttle.
Dave
Tuttle might be the worst ever manager I've ever seen. Even worse than Holloway.
Oh, controversial.
Bit harsh. If you listen to this in your lorry, Dave, love you.
I've heard many stories about you, Dave.
He's probably got his little jacket under his chin, getting ready for a night. Getting ready for a night's sleep. Now he's fell off his bench. That's the one. I thought me and Colin Lee done all right for those 6 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. Amy, what was their win percentage? 1%?
Oh, I don't know.
If that.
His subs were worse than New Harris's, weren't they?
Oh,
that's a lie. No,
that's blasphemy.
Get out. Dig out Dave.
How dare you compare the Messiah
to Dave Tuttle?
It's Dave Tuttle coming in. That's what the ghost is. The ghost of Millwall past.
That's the exit tune. Right, lady and gents, how do we see it going tomorrow? Let's go for a Perino.
2-0.
2.
Millwall, obviously. Fair play.
All right. Just checking for the form.
3-1, why not?
1-0 Millwall, Cooper to score.
I'm going to go 3-1 Millwall.
I keep thinking we've got to keep a clean sheet.
That's right, yeah. It's going to be our game tomorrow.
3-1 Millwall. Yeah, I reckon that's how it's going to go. Thanks for listening to these shows, by the way.
Yeah, thanks.
The London Football Fan Shows. Good to have you. I'm back on Sunday where we talk all things Watford and Wimbledon. And we've got the Haringey Borough manager on as well, talking about their FA Cup tie with the Wombles. Go on, that's Sunday from 7 on Love Sport.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.